This is a Shift Podcast Network production.
Welcome to Here and Back Again. I'm David O'Callaghan, and this is a podcast looking at all things releasing weekly on streaming and in cinemas, with a bit of pop culture bits thrown in for good measure. Okay, we are currently in the Twilight Zone, otherwise known as mid to end of February, and yes, we have come to what is best described as a dumping ground for not-so-epic content. Oh dear. Listen, there's some okay stuff. There's some stuff that the jury will hold off on, and yes, there's an absolute trash heap of muck dropping. But, as we all know, one person's trash is another one's gold. Oh yes, gold in them there hills. So who knows, maybe you'll find yourself a wee little gem here this week. Happy hunting. So, shall we begin?
I have a piano in my house, and I don't play the piano.
Do you have hallucinations?
Mama?
Yeah.
Astronauts go through things they don't understand.
That's when people come unstuck.
When I was up there, the only thing I could focus on was getting back to my daughter.
I miss you, Mummy. Will you be careful up there?
Mummy, who was that?
That was you and me right before the accident.
That was not me.
In Apple's 8-part sci-fi psychological thriller, Constellation, Noomi Rapace plays an astronaut named Joe who survives a disaster in space only to return to Earth and discover that key pieces of her life seem to have shifted or erased themselves. What's going on here then? You've heard me say this a million times before. Apple TV Plus are all in on the highbrow, high-quality sci-fi show vibe. And with series like Foundation, For All Mankind, Invasions and Silo, this one looks set to continue that streak. Are aliens overseeing this conspiracy? Is it a classic changeling switcheroo job? Or is it simply just poor old Joe experiencing space madness? We will soon find out. With the help of a strong trio of directors, including Michelle MacLaren, who did Breaking Bad, Joseph Seeder, who did Footnote, and Oliver Hirschelbegel, who did Downfall, that's Constellation, which is now on Apple TV Plus, and whose first three episodes are now streaming.
I've chased down every hint of the Avatar.
My destiny.
I'm not someone who can stop the Fire Nation. I don't want the responsibility.
You don't have to do this alone. You have me, Tara, and a flying ball of fur. What more do you need?
Netflix's highly anticipated fantasy adventure series Avatar: The Last Airbender is a live-action remake of the iconic Nickelodeon animated series of the same name. The original creators of the series stepped away from this adaptation due to what can be best described as creative differences. But a lot of folks are still quite pumped, and this should be an absolute smash hit for Netflix. Set in a world where people can wield the elements, different nations are at war, and there is only one person, the Avatar, who can use the power of water, earth, fire, and air to save the day. 12-year-old Aang must travel across the continent to master his powers and find a way to end the Fire Nation's war. Yeah, obviously this is nothing to do with James Cameron's Tall Blue People and M. Night. Yes, he did a version of it, and I'm going to be honest, I was never a fan of the cartoon series. I just couldn't get into it. While I won't exactly be rushing to watch this, plenty of fans and the kids. Oh, the kids are going to be bailing in. So that's Avatar: The Last Airbender, whose full season of 8 episodes has now dropped on Netflix. Another week, and it's another adult animated series from Prime Video, which comes to us in the form of the second best hospital in the galaxy. Brought to us by Sirocco Dunlap, who did Big Mouth and Russian Doll, this sci-fi comedy follows Dr. Sleech and Dr. Clack, aliens, best friends, and intergalactically renowned surgeons as they tackle anxiety-eating parasites, illegal time loops, and deep space STIs. What is happening here? These surgeons are voiced by Kiki Palmer and Stephanie Hugh and are joined in the voice cast by Maya Rudolph, Natasha Lyonne, and singer Sam Smith. We're flagging it again. It's definitely not for the smallies. Leave them with Avatar. By the way, something of note in this one, all five Culkin brothers, Kieran, Macaulay, Rory, Christian, and Shane, are acting together for the first time in this new animated series. All 8 season 1 episodes streamed today. That's the second best hospital in the galaxy. Adult animation, folks, now on Prime Video. And also dropping this week in the animated section is Star Wars The Bad Batch Season 3, the final season on Disney Plus, with the elite squad of clone troopers continuing their journey as fugitives of the Empire after resisting Order 66. This season will bring their story to a close, and out there in the world, or even a galaxy far, far away, those hardcore Star Wars heads still invested will rejoice wholeheartedly as Star Wars The Bad Batch, the final season, lands on Disney Plus. Me, I'll just wait for Andor Season 2. Oh, 2025, it's so far away.
Mr. Malloy, this is Mia Harper. I'd like to meet with you to discuss your case. What the prosecution has is pretty damning. I know that you have an eye for details, so don't leave anything out.
She was a goddess. One day I came back and she was gone.
So you believe this guy?
Zire, why did you do it?
I've never seen anything like it.
You always go with your gut.
Please, this is my life and they're trying to ruin me.
In Mea Culpa on Netflix, a criminal defense attorney takes on the case of a seductive artist. Ah, yes. What other kind of artist is there? Accused of murdering his girlfriend, but when burning desire takes hold, things get hot and steamy and dangerous. Oh, sweet lord. This erotic legal thriller, which seems to have been dug up from the 1990s, was written and directed by Tyler Perry and has Kelly Rowland playing the lead role. Well, there you go. Looking like it absolutely deserves to be dropped on February 23rd on streaming. This looks like a ham and cheese sandwich with extra ham. Oh my god. Probably best avoided. Mea Culpa is now streaming on Netflix. And yeah, if you're really stuck, I still wouldn't watch it. But that's just me. That's just me. Sports docs or sports adjacent docs are plentiful this week. And first up, we have Married to the Game on Prime Video, which is a new fly-on-the-wall look at the people behind some intriguing men of football, their wives and partners. Some may call them wags, but this doc attempts to show a different side to what the tabloids would have folks believe they get up to. Whether that succeeds or not, we'll have to wait and see. Interestingly, it's not just, you know, as expected, low-key footballers. There are some interesting participants. You have Catherine Harding, who is engaged to Arsenal's Jorginho. You've got Taylor Ward, who's married to Riyad Mahrez. You've Sarah Gundogan, married to Ilkay Gundogan. You've Sam Tarkowski, married to James Tarkowski. And you've Ash Turner, married to ex-Arsenal and now Forest player Matt Turner. An intriguing mix there, and I'm pretty sure this one will contain some wonderful highs, some glorious lows. I'll be watching to check out their gaffes and all the money on show. You know, dresses, ridiculous parties. It's going to be obnoxious. But I kind of want to have a peep. Anyway, all throughout this week and continuing Messi's sponsorship of Apple TV or vice versa, Messi's World Cup, The Rise of a Legend on Apple TV Plus is exactly that, a docuseries following Messi throughout the recent World Cup and his path to eventual and long overdue glory. It's most defo looking like another Messi puff piece, but if you are desperate for some sports ball, Messi World Cup, The Rise of a Legend is now waiting for you on Apple TV Plus. If, however, you're looking for something a bit faster, well,
to be a Formula One driver, you need to be able to switch yourself off from everything that is happening around you.
Is he ready? Physically, mentally?
Your position is under threat.
You're fighting between teammates.
I'm fucking done with this.
Formula One is brutal.
And it's
keep on pushing. Leave me alone.
But when you get into that car...
Yeah, baby!
The noise goes away.
With the new Formula One season set to begin, yes, it can only mean one thing. Formula One Drive to Survive Season 6 lands on Netflix. Despite the, sketchy goings on and allegations around Chris Horner, the team principal of the Red Bull Formula One team, and also Mr. Jerry Halliwell. However, that's happening right now, so will not be in this season, but you can imagine Season 7 should be very intriguing. This docuseries, which explores the lives of the drivers and the races they have to embark on in order to win the FIA Formula One World Championship, has come around for one more lap. You are either in on this or you couldn't give a flying. And judging by numbers and fans and ratings, a lot of people are into this. So let the drama begin. Meep, meep. That is Formula One Drive to Survive Season 6, which is now rolling out on Netflix. Also out this week, we have Sylvester Stallone and his family returning for a second season to their hit show, The Family Stallone on Paramount+. Plus, the actor and his wife prepare to face an empty nest by moving to Palm Beach. Their daughters Sophia and Sistine head to New York City to pursue their dreams, while their youngest, Scarlett, heads to college in Miami, where she sets out to find love. Oh, what can go wrong? Basically, that's all you need to know. Sly most definitely needs the money. God bless his cotton socks. And while they are not the Kardashians, they seem to be enjoying themselves. So that's The Family Stallone Season 2, which is now out on Paramount+. Plus.
Hiya. Can I tell you a secret? There's something I need to tell you. Can I trust you? Let me start from the beginning. Your name was mentioned.
They come for you. And then they come for your family.
Beware.
Are they going to get you?
Are you still worried?
A nightmare figure infiltrated their lives. This was the biggest stalking case I'd ever seen.
Wait till I really get going.
Hundreds of victims.
If sports ball or sports docs or animation isn't your jam, well, look no further, you true crime nuts. Nut jobs. Why would you watch this stuff? That voice alone freaked me out. Can I Tell You a Secret is now released on Netflix. This harrowing docuseries tells the story of some of the women targeted by serial stalker Matthew Hardy, who in early 2022 received the longest custodial sentence in British history for stalking online. The series explores the women's experiences, the police investigation, and how Hardy was ultimately brought to justice. So yes, if true crime and sleepless nights is your mood or jam this week, Can I Tell You a Secret is now streaming on Netflix. Next up, and this synopsis may sound familiar to some of you, CIA operative Carrie Mathison is on the lookout for an American prisoner who may have joined forces with Al-Qaeda. Released from being a hostage after 8 years, Marine Nicholas Brody becomes her suspect. Why am I talking about Homeland? Because to whom it may concern, all 8 seasons of Homeland has finally landed on streaming and is now on Disney Plus and is, you know, for a lot of people, is possibly there to finish off. You know, you may have never completed it. It was brilliant at the start. It dipped in the middle. But then, I'm not going to lie, I thought it regained its composure, unlike Carrie's cry face, near the end of its run. So that is Homeland Seasons 1 to 8, which are now on Disney+. And finally on streaming this week, we had the BAFTAs last week, with very few surprises, although The Boy and the Heron beating Spider-Verse was an intriguing development. Well, our last big stop before the Oscars pull up to the station on March 10th comes in the form of the SAG Awards. The Screen Actors Guild, which will screen live on Saturday night / Sunday morning at 1 a.m. on Netflix. Divine Joy Randolph and Robert Downey Jr. seem to have the SAGs and Oscars now sewn up. However, the battles between Cillian Murphy and Jeffrey Wright and Lily Gladstone and Emma Stone will be a strong final indicator of where the Oscar may be heading. Should the movie casting award go to anyone other than Oppenheimer, well, holy crap, it's all about to kick off. However, I do expect Oppenheimer to win. Anyway, that's that. The 30th annual Screen Actors Guild Awards comes to Netflix live on Sunday morning at 1 a.m. And speaking of cinema, yeah, let's take a look at some releases this week on the big screen.
The mystery of the obscene little Hampton letter is causing widespread distress across the nation.
Holy heavens. Carry on. Dear Edith, you foxy ass old whore.
In the end, I think it's just jealousy.
Do you feel certain Rose Gooding's guilty?
I can't see why they think it's me. I'm on the verge of making history here.
I was a bit roisterous once or twice.
In Wicked Little Letters, when residents of Littlehampton start receiving letters filled with obscenities and hilarious profanity, Rose, a rambunctious Irish immigrant, is accused of the crime. Suspecting that something is amiss, the town's women investigate. Set in the 1920s and based on a true English scandal, this hilarious black comedy is raised to hugely entertaining levels by the enthusiasm of its fantastic cast. The leads, played by Olivia Colman and Jesse Buckley, chew up the scenery with absolute gusto and raise the movie above more than just another period piece comedy drama. There's a foul-mouthed blitz of profanities throughout the movie that would make your mother blush, which is kind of funny since I did bring my mother and her crew to a previous screening and Mary did not blush. That was more me. She absolutely loved it, particularly Olivia Colman, who can do no wrong. So big thumbs up from Mary and the crew. They went off for a cup of tea and, you know, discussed the language they had just heard. I mean, potty mouth stuff. Tia Sharrock directs, who did Me Before You and the one and only Ivan. Listen, if you're looking for a fun, entertaining distraction of a movie, this will easily tick that box and could possibly turn your hair and the air in the cinema blue in the process. Fun, fun times. Oh, how much I laughed. That's Wicked Little Letters. Now in cinemas. Also in cinemas this week, we have Perfect Days, which is the new movie from Wim Wenders, which has been nominated for the Best International Feature at the Academy Awards, and in doing so, becomes the first film not directed by a Japanese filmmaker to be nominated as the Japanese entry. It tells the story of Hirayama, who feels content with his life as a toilet cleaner in Tokyo. Outside of his structured routine, he cherishes music on cassette tapes, reads books, and takes photos. Through unexpected encounters, he reflects on finding beauty in the world. Ah, a movie about the simple pleasures in life. What is not to love? Also of note for this movie is that Martin Scorsese revealed that Past Lives and this movie, Perfect Days, were his favourite movies of 2023. So if that doesn't get you into the cinema, I don't know what will. So Perfect Days is now on limited release in cinemas. And also on limited release is Memory, which is a new drama starring Jessica Chastain as Sylvia, a single mother and social worker grappling with her past, and Peter Sarsgaard as Saul, a man suffering from early onset dementia, in a story that intertwines their troubled lives following a surprise high school reunion. This encounter will profoundly impact both of them as they open the door to the past. Guaranteed to have you in absolute floods, and arriving on the back of some pretty decent reviews, that's Memory, which is now on limited release in cinemas. And finally in cinemas this week, we have Demon Slayer to the Hashira Training. This is one just to flag for all those hardcore anime heads who I'm sure have already booked their tickets and are ready to rock and do not need reminding. Anyways, this one is your next fix. No plotline needed. You're either in, you're either out. That's Demon Slayer to the Hashira Training, which is now released in cinemas. And that's your cinema for the week. But while I'm on it, can I also flag that this week is the start of DIFF, the Dublin International Film Festival. So best of luck to all taking part. Best of luck to Grania and her crew. And all aboard, all aboard. That's DIFF for the next 2.5 weeks. Let the madness begin. Moving on to music. On holy moly, there's so much music released this week. I'm just going to throw them at you. There's MGMT, have a new album, Loss of Life. Yes, MGMT are still going. Idols obviously released a new album earlier last week, Tank. Ali X has a new album, The Girl With No Face. And the one I want to call out from Scottish indie rock band The Snuts is their new album, Millennial. A cracker of a live band. Gotta love them. Gotta love them. Do you know what? Take us away into Three Things, lads. Take us away. Never play music before Three Things. I'm now hyped. I'm buzzed. Anyway, three things we noticed in pop culture this week. Well, first up, it's all gone a bit Beatles, baby. Sam Mendes, Sony and Apple Corps have announced four Beatles theatrical movies, which Mendes will direct all four. And this marks the first time Apple Corps Limited and the Beatles themselves have granted full life story and music rights for a scripted film. According to the Hollywood Trades, Mendes will tell interconnected stories, one from each band member's point of view. So bring it on, Paul, John, George and Ringo. Let the games begin. It's like the MCU for the Beatles. MBU? I don't know. This hugely ambitious project is currently looking for writers, but will not hit cinemas until at least 2027. While you're waiting, do you know what? Why not watch the absolutely fab Across the Universe? That jukebox musical romantic drama from 2007, which centered around the music of the Beatles. Oh my God, I was such a massive fan of it. Absolute cracker. So that is the Beatles, all four of them, not five, heading to cinemas in 2027. Who knows, maybe Sony, like they do with Marvel, will take over the fifth Beatle universe and make their versions cheap knockoffs. But we won't talk about that. We had enough of that last week. We've touched on this one before. Warner Brothers have a finished version, newly shot, of Stephen King's Salem's Lot, directed by the none-too's Gary Doberman, which was a huge hit for Warner and was originally due in cinemas in 2022, but, however, was replaced in the schedule by Evil Dead Rises, and it seems to have gone missing. Proper AWOL, despite receiving decent buzz from folks who've seen it. Well, the man himself has stepped into the discourse this week as Mr. King tweeted, "Between you and me, Twitter, I've seen the new Salem's Lot. And it's quite good. Old school horror filmmaking, slow build, big payoff. Not sure why Warner Brothers is holding it back. Not like it's embarrassing or anything. Who knows? I just write the fucking things." Now, I know what you're thinking. Steve-O can be a bit hit and miss with his opinions on his movies and their adaptations. Obviously, he originally hated Kubrick's The Shining. Ah, Stephen. But the bigger worry is, are Warner about to Batgirl or Coyote versus Acme this one and shelve it for an unseen tax break? Which all will mean we'll never get to see it. Mad stuff. As someone who was stressed out in life, aged 8 by a floating child in PJs, tap, tap, tapping outside the window in the fog. "Open the window, Mark. Let me in. Please. Tap, tap. Let me in." Feck off. Get the hell. Surely we deserve another moment like that, just so we can freak out today's young kids. Anyway, that is Salem's Lot. Will we ever see it? Who knows? And finally, well, just like the Hokey Cokey, the director seat for the new Jurassic World movie has stepped out and stepped in again. When an agreement couldn't be reached with David Leitch of Deadpool and the Fall Guy, off he disappeared like a velociraptor into the night. Well, this may have led to an even more exciting development, as the Hollywood Trades are reporting that none other than Gareth Edwards is being tapped up to step in. Yes, he who gave us last year's stunning and beautiful The Creator, along with Rogue One, and yes, has a creature feature pedigree of Godzilla and Monsters also behind him. With this set to release in July 2025, you think so? You really? A quick turnaround is going to be needed, and no better man. Will it be a bit more ponderous and a bit more beautiful looking than your normal Jurassic World movies? Who knows, but here's hoping Garrett gets the gig. And that's us. There is your week in the bag. As I said, middle to end Feb. Sucky Max Suckerson. There's some cinema-wise, there's some decent stuff, fans. Yeah, there's a few other things. Right, I'm going to head off into the sunset, even though it's the middle of the day. Oh, and for all you regular listeners, there is no post-credit universe scene, whatever you want to call it, this week. There'll be no travelling, as I have a bonus episode coming up very soon, and I want to get straight in and record that. So no post-credit scene. You've been warned. This is not a double bluff, or is it? This is David O'Callaghan for the Here and Back Again podcast, wishing you all the best. And until next week, stay safe and binge happy. Now, I said there'd be no post-credit travelling, but I didn't say there wouldn't be a post-credit song. After a wonderful and in-depth chat in the pub recently about the beauty, awesomeness and long-lasting joy that both Moulin Rouge, the musical and soundtrack gives to me, this week I just want to say, my gift is my earworm, and despite that sounding quite unhygienic, this one's for you.
My gift is my song. And this one's for you. And you can tell everybody. This is your song. It may be quite simple, but now that it's done, hope you don't mind. I hope you don't mind that I put down in words how wonderful life is now you're in the world. Sat on the roof, and I kicked off the moss. Well, some of these verses, well, they got me quite cross. But the sun's been kind while I wrote this song. It's for people like you that keep it turned on. But these things I do, you see, I've forgotten if they're green or they're blue. And well, the thing is, what I really need, yours got the sweetest eyes.